And we're back here in Alaska Homewise. We're talking about retrofitting your home. Our guest is Terry Dzinski. Just real quick, explain to me how moisture can get in your walls and why is that bad?
Well, because we create moisture inside the house. If the house didn't have people in it, it would perform fine. We'd never have any problems in it. But we get in there and we start cooking and bathing and drying clothes and breathing and having fish and plants and all kinds of things, and so we create moisture. And most houses have a plastic air vapor barrier inside them. The older, even the older houses have it. It may not be very airtight, but it's still there. So it traps this moisture inside this plastic bag, sort of. Outside, there's no moisture in the air. It's very dry. So the moisture tries to escape to get to the outside from the inside and to even itself out. So it wants to get out through the walls. And so that's why we seal up the walls, to keep the moisture from getting into the wall. Once the moisture gets into the wall, it gets to a point, what we call the dew point, where the water, the vapor, turns into, or the vapor turns into water. It condenses. And so that's when it, and then it usually freezes at that point in time, and then it starts to ruin your insulation. So we are the problem.
Terry, here's a complicated question. If you want to do some work on your walls, every wall has a vapor barrier. The latest craze is to put a lot of insulation on the outside of your house with another vapor barrier as well, but isn't that bad to have two vapor barriers? How does that work?
It's not bad to have two vapor barriers, but it's important to know where the second vapor barrier is, or better yet, to have the second vapor barrier inside the dew point. And I know that sounds complicated, and it sort of is in a little interview here, but we go on a rule based on the R value of the wall. So if you have R11 wall, that's a 2x4 wall, or R19 wall is a 2x6 wall. If you wanted to add insulation to the outside of that R11 wall to be have your vapor barrier within the first one-third of the R value, you would have to add R20 to the outside. So it'd be R11 vapor barrier and then additional R20. So that any moisture that's created during the wintertime inside the house will not condense within that first R11. And that's really what we're looking for, is have the vapor barrier in at the point of, or beyond the dew point, so that moisture will never condense in the insulation. And so when you're retrofitting an old house, a 2x4 house, it's best to add 4 inches of rigid foam and put a vapor barrier on the existing old house. And Cold Climate has a program called the Remote Wall System, and there's a handbook out on it now, and it's really good for doing that, and it kind of details where that vapor barrier should be.
Now, a lot of energy raters recommend putting insulation in your crawl space, and one place is on the floor of your crawl space. Why would I do that? Does that really do anything?
Well, the most of our crawl spaces in Fairbanks are warm. We have plumbing down there. We have lots of stuff stored down there that probably can't freeze, so we want that crawl space to stay at least above freezing, and maybe even a little bit warmer than that. And you're losing heat through the floor to keep that crawl space warm. So by installing insulation on the perimeter of the crawl space floor, typically a foam board on the floor, it slows the heat loss down through that floor, because heat is traveling from warm to cold to try and even itself out. So it's going down into the ground, and if you can slow it down by adding insulation around the perimeter, you will get an energy savings and you'll get a comfort level increase in the house as well. And we usually just recommend the perimeter because the center is so far away from the cold, the outside, you might say, that the R value is higher in the center of the crawl space. So we just recommend putting it around the perimeter.
Tell me a little bit about ventilation in the home. We talked a little bit about this before, but if a house is full of holes, that's a bad thing, of course. But sealing up the holes might be bad as well. What is meant by that?
Well, every house has an air change. And you're moving, you heat up that volume of air to 70 degrees. And then that volume of air changes. You bring in new fresh air from outside. And if you're bringing it in through all the leaks in the house, you will change the air a whole lot during the winter time, and maybe not very much during the summer, because the thing that makes the air change is the difference in pressure between in and out. And the colder it gets, the pressure differentials are greater. So you get this cycle where you're moving lots of 70 degree out, bring in lots of minus 30 air in. So if you can make the house more airtight and then control the amount of air that comes in, then you'll save energy. So the key is determining how leaky you are and how leaky or tight you should be. And the best way to do that is to have a blower door test. So if you get an energy rating, and the blower door test will tell you what your air change is, your average air change is, and then you can determine how much to tighten up or how much to ventilate, depending on that number.
If I'm looking at my hot water system, or if I want to change my hot water system because I'm doing some retrofitting, what's the best way to heat water?
Personally, I'd say electricity is the best way, but it's the most expensive way. You know, it's the least maintenance and easiest. You can forget about it, don't have to do anything, but it's the most expensive way to heat hot water. So most houses are heating their hot water with oil. Unless you have a forced air system, maybe you have an electric water heater, and in which case you want to look at different ways to lower that or change that to oil-fired. And there's new heaters out, or domestic water heaters that are called indirect water heaters that come off the boilers that are a little more efficient than the storage tank and the coil heater that's inside the boiler and things like that. So there's a number of strategies that you could use to upgrade that and make it better.
Now let's say I have some older appliances in my house. Should I replace older appliances? Does it depend on the appliance? What should I do?
They say that if your refrigerator is 6 or 7 years old, you'll save money by buying a new one. Because of the compressors are much more energy efficient today. If you get a kilowatt from Golden Valley, you can find out how much energy your refrigerator is using, and you would be amazed at that old refrigerator in the garage that you've got 2 6-packs of beer in. It's probably costing more than a lot of the things put together inside your house to run. Refrigerators are the biggest things they've made strides in making that energy efficient today. So really, buying an Energy Star refrigerator is a good buy. You actually, I've got a little spreadsheet that shows if you bought an old refrigerator for $100 at a garage sale that was a real old one and plugged it in, and then bought a brand new one for $900, that over a 5-year period, you'd save money on the new one.
Is there any other general advice you want to give us on retrofitting a home?
You should get a guide before you start retrofitting, and the guide would be an energy rating because that will be done by somebody who's been trained in looking for these sorts of things, and then also the rating software tells you where the most cost-effective things are to start with. So where's the biggest bang for your buck right away? And just like building a house, you want to plan before you start working on it. And so I wouldn't try and do anything until I had that done and did a little research or got a little more knowledge in what is going on with regard to retrofits.
Thank you very much, Terry. That's all for this week's edition of Alaska HomeWise. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
If you want to submit a question to Alaska HomeWise, email us at akhomewise@cchrc.org. We'll try and get your question answered on the air. For more information on HomeWise, including a schedule of upcoming shows, visit the UAF Cooperative Extension Service website at www.uaf.edu/ces or the Cold Climate Housing Research Center at cchrc.org. Save energy. Save money. Become HomeWise.